What's him? Your New Orleans Pelicans. They beat the San Antonio Spurs 121-106. It's me, yeah. Bootleg DeMarcus Cousins. I got my dog, the Walmart version of Grant Williams, in the building. We here, you know what I'm saying? We be with y'all in 1 second. We appreciate y'all pulling up. And here we go. Some BI sprinkled in is crazy. Brother Christopher, are you still here?
Yeah. What up?
Man, what's happening? What's up, guys? Everybody in the chat, what's popping? You know what I'm saying? I hope y'all had enjoyed the game. Every day above ground is a good one. We here. And while we here, let's do good. I'm telling you, I'm hosting the show tonight because Jermaine was doing some other shit. Some responsible adulting coaching shit. And I promise you, I'm going to fuck up. So here we go. Boy, Chuck, what's good, man? What's good? So, Chris, dog, you want to start with some bullshit. You want to get the bullshit out of the way. Lex, what's good? You want to get the bullshit out of the way
first? Lex, what up?
Nah. I want to tell you my phone name.
Yeah.
Like, it's Tim Grover. You know what it is?
The official?
No, there is no official name Tim Grover, brother. You like a professional bullshitter, so you heard me say some random name and you associated it with a referee, and that's crazy. But no, you don't know who Tim Grover is? Tim Grover was Michael Jordan's trainer, and he was
Wade's
trainer.
So you named the phone after Michael Jordan's trainer?
Yeah, is that okay?
I mean, if you feel good about it, who am I to judge you?
I mean, you're not anybody to judge me on like anything in life.
That's true.
Talk basketball or what?
Was there a point to that story? Or
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Let's off the game.
So the New Orleans Pelicans, man, 121-106, man. The score in the end, I guess, was a lot worse than how the actual game was. It actually was a good game, dog. Like, I really, you know, considering that Wimby was out for them, and, you know, we had to welcome Trey back into the lineup. Shout out, brother Murphy, man. Glad to see my dog back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Glad to see him back in the lineup. And he looked like he didn't miss a step. Came back. He was athletic.
Just talk it.
He got a dunk. He made what is it? He made 4 threes. Came back at 18 yep. points. First game back, 18 points, dog.
Started out 0-for-3.
And you know, Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
No, I mean, so there's a bunch of different elements to this. So I told people at halftime, we got some news, right? And when you look at the minutes, it kind of signals that. It feels like Zion's playing tomorrow, right? Back to back against Chicago. It feels like from what we heard when we seen Zion's playing tomorrow. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
But the other element is this, right? B.I. scored 14. Zion scored 12. And you beat you beat San Antonio even without Wembanyama. They're a terrible team. It's no way around it. But you beat them by 15 points with your best two players not getting at 15. Your leading scorers for a long stretch was Herb Jones and Jonas, and we will get to those two.
Mm.
But then it's CJ, and then it's Trey Murphy. You know, I mean, I think that's a really good feeling going into tomorrow, because you got to assume against another bad team that B.I. and Zion, if Zion does play like we think, won't end up playing this poorly.
Yo, man, listen. Some would say, and I'm not some, but some would say, based on who the Pelicans played today and who didn't play for them, this was a game it shouldn't have been as close as it was. I say you can only play, regardless of how good or bad the team is, you can't look past any team. I think the Pels did a good job as far as, I mean, you gotta take, you gotta play who in front of you, bro. You take the wins, how you, you get the wins, how you could get them, right? And I think they did a good job on not looking past this team, and just when things were getting a little bit close, they calmed each other down. And I think we were kind of texting about this. You text me and Five. I want to get into Jonas and I want to get into everybody else.
Excuse me?
That's crazy. I would like to speak about Jonas, and I like
Justin.
Speak about the light skinned Jermaine is
getting into the whole team. That's insane.
It's crazy, man.
Jesus.
I'll do better. I'm gonna review the film. I'm gonna get better.
Yeah.
So, we gotta talk about Herbert Keyshawn, man. You said something. I want you to respond before. Go ahead.
I arrived on this show.
Yeah, that was
a little crazy. We had back to back shows where we talked about Herb Jones and leadership. And Five has some pushback in regards to that, but I gotta say that you see Herb's leadership in ways on the floor, by just the timely plays. Mm. There was a point in time where I mentioned Jonas and Herb were leading the team in scoring, and when they took off, when the Pelicans took off and finally were able to get up by 5, 7, 9, 11 points. Was because of Herb. Herb is the stabilizing force. He's the one, he's the consistent one. He's the one diving on the floor. He's the one getting out in transition. He's the one making the smart plays. Y'all might be on to something. Y'all might be on to something simply because every time I look up in this version of Herb Jones, there's points in the game to where Herbert does things where nobody else on, and it changes the game. Whether it's a bad team, good team, whatever the case may be.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Right. Hold on. Yeah, what the hell happened? Go ahead.
All right, you good?
I think they acting up out there in the front. Hold on. But go ahead, though.
No. I just to kind of expound upon the point you're making. Yeah, like Herb brings the five made a very valid point in the group chat.
Yeah,
the money. Hey, dog said you in a wormhole. That's crazy.
Excuse me.
I didn't say it.
Why would he say that boy in a wormhole is crazy? AC, that is insane.
Shout out to AC, man.
That is insane. I got people in my house.
Yo, listen.
Once I leave this room, it's crazy out there. It's chaos.
Man, listen, her, bro, like we talked about leadership, and you talked about people think leadership has to be a vocal ability. Man, Herb does a great job. He don't say a word. Herb just give you looks. He play, he lead by example. Five made a valid point in the chat. The money added responsibility to him. And generally, money does one of two things. Money either highlights the worst in you, or it could bring, in Herb's case, bring out the best of you. Because what it did was, Herb may have feel like where he arrived into the league, you know what I'm saying, in the second round, may have felt like he didn't have a voice to speak to this team. However, getting paid, it kind of like reinforced it. You know what I'm saying? It was just like,
I mean, I think the beauty, y'all having too much fun in these comments, man. I told y'all, y'all gotta have some. Y'all listen, before we do that, Tyler makes a good point here, man. Look, y'all hit the like
button. Tyler, thank you, bro.
That's how all the bills get paid. You know, Lito say he's gonna make mistakes. He was gonna forget to say that. Without you, bro, he might not have been able to say that.
Because let me tell you, because light skinned Jermaine be like, smash it. And I wasn't gonna say that.
That's crazy.
I wasn't gonna abuse them and say smash the like
button. Hey, yo, that's crazy too. Y'all gotta quit. Y'all gotta quit. I told you, I got like 4 or 5 people. All right, whatever. Look though, but the thing is the thing with Herb is that people respond to his play. They respond to certain moments in the game, and that's leadership. They follow what he does on the floor. So everybody can't execute what Herb does, but that's beautiful, man. Damn, Damn.
LeVar, what's up with you? LeVar, it's 10 minutes into the show, LeVar.
Can we get through the show?
LeVar, we ain't talking about the game yet, dog. Like
we ain't even talk about Trey.
God damn.
There we go.
Thank you. Appreciate you, dog. Hey, before we move on any further, I wanna tell y'all something. I have been advocating to Jermaine and Lala. We need a number for them to call in and leave a voicemail. We need a call-in number. That shit would be ill.
Why do you want that?
Because it would just be chaos. Imagine LeVar yelling into the fucking phone saying this 10 minutes into the podcast.
But that's one side of it. It's going to be racism to come with that, too. You want that?
I mean, it's racism.
That's a quote. I mean, it's racist. Listen. Story time between. I ain't gonna do that. I'm gonna give you a story.
That's about to be crazy.
Yeah, it was a quick story. I'm moving. Me and my girl are moving to a new place very soon. Hopefully, I pay a lot of money for the internet. Hopefully, by then. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get all that fixed. But y'all got to stop with the wormhole, bro. Like, you got to come up with something else than wormhole. It's AC fault. Call it something else. All right. Can we talk about Trey?
Let's talk about Trigger, man. Let's do it.
So, we have been talking for a while about how...
Yeah, this is the greatest show of all time already.
y'all got to chill. Lito.
Chung. Come on, Chung. Chung, that's crazy.
Crazy. All right, look. So, we already said it. A game like tonight bodes well for tomorrow. Because, again, feel like Zion's going to play. Like Zion's going to play. And they're going to go and take care of business at the last game before Monday. Before the Sacramento game Monday,
CJ,
once again, y'all don't know, CJ cannot fly tomorrow, but he is able to fly for Monday. He will be available for Sacramento. So tomorrow, if Zion's playing, great. Come Chicago. Where I'm at. Take care of business against a bad team that hate each other and the Bulls and make that happen, man. So, but Trey Murphy. Yo.
Talk about it. Let's hear it.
Bro, he was in a practice jersey 2 weeks after he tore his knee up.
Let's talk about this. At media day, I don't remember how long that was after he tore his knee up.
He never said this. He never said that.
Shout out to my dog Superman, though. Hey, listen, at media day, Trey was walking around answering questions, lightly jogging, had no leg sleeve on, nothing. Like, I don't think that brother is human, and the work ethic I personally like have seen him be in the gym, like getting shots up, like he couldn't run for a while, but he never stopped working out. He never stopped shooting. It's just incredible to see. I'm happy for a guy like him who can first game back 18. Like, dog, let's talk about it. Let's hype this shit up,
bro. So, shout out to OG Kenny. Kenny told me a while ago that Trey, and this is in the middle of his rehab, bro was getting up at 6 a.m. and not getting back to the crib till like 3, 4 o'clock. A dude that's injured ain't supposed to be thinking that way. You're not supposed to be getting up at 6 a.m., getting to the gym that early, and you ain't playing no time soon. You're not playing. But the psychos that think that way, come out tonight and have a game in which he had, bro. He started out, he missed his first three threes, man. And he came out, I think he was solid. I think defensively, he got into some passing lanes, had a block, had a steal. But the 18, it changed the game. He got in. And then we saw different levels of Trey Murphy. We saw Trey, the offseason work.
Yeah.
We saw the offseason work, and we saw Trey put energy into a building because people, like, they gravitate towards him. But we saw a step back midi from Trey. We saw a drive with multiple dribbles out to an assist to where he knew he was passing the basketball and for it to work. We saw him take the basketball, go coast to coast, and not dunk the ball. We saw him lay it up.
Right.
And then we saw what we always see, as Tyler put, the dunk.
Yeah.
Trey's special, man. Trey's a star. 25 is a star. He walks, he talks like a star. He acts like a star, prepares like one. He plays like one. He's going to be worth every dollar that they pay him, man. And it's no surprise he was as prepared as he was tonight.
Listen, man, the thing about Trey is, like you said, the work. The thing about work is the work always show, bro. It always show. Y'all go ahead and smash that like button too, bro. You know what I'm saying? Smash it. Smash the hell out the like button. Let's get it going. Hey,
what are you talking? All right, go ahead.
I told you what it was. I just told you what it was. The thing about the work is the work always show. So right. Yeah. So it's like we saw everything Trey was doing this summer. He was playing in fucking different continents. He was playing in different countries. You know what I'm saying? And the one thing that was like synonymous is like,
ooh,
it was just basketball. Wherever he went, it was just basketball. Like it was, he was putting in work, but it was smash it, Blake. You got to smash the button. It was
stop
just
saying that. Stop talking like that.
Shout out Chaz and the motherfucker.
What's poppin'?
Up, Chaz?
Nothing much.
We just good, man. We just up here talking about Trey, man. We excited to see Trey back. We didn't really get too far in talking about the game yet. We talked about Herb's leadership. Now we are just talking about Trey, man. Happy to see him back. Happy to see him, you know, all the skills that I don't want to say acquired over the summer, because he has some things that he's been working on. You saw towards the end of the season, you saw slowly starting to become a regular in his repertoire. But over the summer, that's crazy.
Yeah, wow. I know. I saw that too. That was wild.
What are we doing?
Why are we doing that?
Travis, come on, Travis.
It's nasty.
But anyways, you see.
What up, Three Stans? Go ahead, bro.
Nah, you saw tonight, bro, and this is his first game back. You saw. Another full repertoire, right? He made four threes. He was 7 for 13. He shot a fadeaway. He gave you an electrifying dunk. You know what I'm saying? He was in on transition. Like, how you feel about Trey being back?
Man, I think I'd be lying if I said any of us really surprised. I think we all kind of expected bro to kind of pick up where he left off, given he did something, and it's not a shame about it. He did something that some guys didn't do. And this past offseason, and that's give themselves room for error. Trey being in such tremendous shape coming into camp, he could afford to take time off with an injury because he gave himself some room for error. That way you see him now, he looks like a guy who picked up where he left off. You know, there's not really a bad shot for Trey. it's a lot of interesting things, man. It's a lot of interesting things.
Wait,
No,
we go no Chaz.
Because there was a comment earlier.
Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, yeah. LeVar games.
Yeah.
What yeah, LeVar, hey, man? LeVar, we do talk about that all the time.
I don't know if LeVar be listening. LeVar might not be listening like that, son.
Look,
for real.
I don't agree, but it's a conversation that I enjoy being a part of. And it is a conversation that does have some good. You know, some good points to it. It's not how I necessarily see it, but I'm also brain dead when it comes to this franchise. So anybody that's forward thinking is like, all right, because shout out to y'all, because I'm day to day. Some of y'all, shout out to Chaz and it's a lot of others that be thinking years down the line and months. I ain't got that in me. I am day to day. I'm already at tomorrow when it comes to Chicago. That's where I'm at. You know, I mean.
Say, man, look, Chaz just kind of talked about this, but man, the thing, you know, Chris, we talked about the difference between her, Hawk and Trey, right?
Yeah,
all right, in their shooting, we talk about their shooting. That's crazy,
yeah.
What we hooping at? I'll pull up
that boy, he got the BGs.
Him and Don, let me know we hooping. But look, we talk about the difference between Trey and Hawk shooting, right? And yeah. you saw it tonight, like firsthand. It was so dope to see them both on the court at the same time, sharing the space. But it's so wild because they don't even share the same space. Trey is literally shooting four pointers, if you will. He's
30 foot threes.
Yeah, like his gravity, in his shot selection is just incredible. And like, Hawk doesn't necessarily have that type of shooting range, but the movement,
the movement's different,
bro. It's so crazy to see. It was kind of like it was a work of art for real, because Hawk was doing so much movement around Trey, and Trey was just bro. I'm just like, so you know, I just want to talk about that. What's
you ever been? For? You ever been doing something like, I don't know, like you on the phone and you vacuuming or something, and you're and like you got like a little like your nephew or something running around, yeah, something like just act like that's like Trey Hawk. Trey gonna stand in this spot doing what he doing, standing 30 feet away. He might move from a wing to a corner, and Hawk's all over the goddamn place. He might be next to Trey, but he gonna renavigate right over to the other side. But it all fits. And the thing is that, man, and this is the beauty in this that we hope, that I think we all hope that we can see more, and it really comes to fruition. When Zion is on the floor, teams have to make bad decisions. And it helps when those bad decisions have 35, 36, 37, 40% three-point shooters out there on the floor. Like, it helps. You know what I'm saying? To where Trey was walking into practice threes simply because Zion drove, took two steps, and passed the ball out to him. Right. You know what I'm saying? To where even that beautiful play where Zion throws the ball from one wing to the opposite wing.
Bro, that was incredible. And Trey,
yeah, I mean, it's only a play that Zion can make, and it's one that he made a bunch of times last year with him and, you know, with Trey Murphy on the floor. Teams got to make they got to make some bad decisions when Hawk and Trey are on the floor. Now, even CJ. CJ went what? Like, CJ was bad for a period. He couldn't make anything, bro.
For 8 from 3.
Yeah, it was tough, but even like that ability, you know, he's not gonna do that every. And that's the, you know, the threat of Zion. That is tongue. All right, keep going, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. Having Hawk and
Hawk. Why you do that?
I thought Hawk had an interesting game. I didn't think he played like well, but I didn't think he played bad neither. He took one shot I had a problem with. I just hate coming off that screen and just shooting the midi. I just don't like it because you're such a good three-point shooter. It was like, bro, just take the three, bro. And he had another one where Zion gave him a good feed, and his feet weren't set quite yet ready to shoot the three. But again, he's a rookie, you know what I'm saying? So I give him a ton of grace. I think him moving without the ball is something that's extremely valuable, keeps defenses honest. And I really don't think you have an answer, man. Like, if you get a real five, or like just a rebound, do the dirty work five out there,
yeah,
I don't think you really have an answer offensively. Well, you don't have an answer defensively to counter a Zion, Hawkins, CJ, Trey type lineup. I think that's one of them lineups that just like discourage and demoralize the team, like you saw somewhat tonight, where it's just like, I'm just like on the two plays Chris referenced, it was like there was one kind of like I guess you could say like a half transition where it's just like, all right, this is clearly going to Trey. You can see Zion thinking it the entire time. Yo, he about to get a ball. Trey set the little screen, did it. Trey knocks it down. Another one when you see Zion drive and you like, he's passing it to Trey. Why they got Trey wide open? I guess because Zion's right there, but they tripping. Passing it to Trey. Trey knocks it down. It's like, bro, it's nothing you can do with that. It's nothing. You know what I'm saying? Even if, man, shout out to Dyson. Dyson going through it right now, but Dyson is left wide open in the corner a lot. And you know, it's because it's Dyson, of course, and because you're going to do that with Zion. But right. if that's somebody other than Dyson, I think you just see a totally different defense. The way it's like, all right, fuck, Zion one-on-one, because we can't leave all these dudes. We're just going to have to live with the 2 points over the three. And it's just a crazy thing to have to counter.
You got to live with a bad decision.
Yeah.
One way or another, you got to live with a bad decision. Like, it's like, I remember the Sacramento, I always reference this, like in playoff basketball, Sacramento was playing Golden State, and Golden State switched to a point to where they was like, all right, well, we can't stop Fox. So, but the only way we got a chance of stopping him is leaving somebody that we don't want to leave open. So And Keegan Murray was going through it right there at that time with the rotation. He was up and down. So they decided we're going to make Herter work a little bit more, but he's going to have more open shots than we probably should give him. And it worked. But think about the fact you leaving a dude that's almost shooting 40% from three open. Like you are sacrificing his ability because you have to deal with Sabonis and drop coverage, and you have to deal with Fox's ability to navigate through the lane. But you got so now, like, what do you do? You know, I mean, now you flip that for the Pelicans. You got to do that with Zion, but you got to put two or three people there. And then he got Hawk in one corner on one side, a CJ on one side, and you got Trey just sitting at 30 feet away from the rim waiting. And he gonna make it 4 out of 10 times. It's tough, bro.
Such an easy shot for him, dog. Like it's the release is effortless on the shot. Like it's kind of crazy, especially from how far away he's shooting that shit. It's like he ain't even trying. I got a hot take for y'all. I saw somebody on Twitter saying, you know, during the offseason we were asking for Buddy Hill, like, you know, like a lot of fans, just more shooting, but Buddy Hill was one of the guys that his name rang a lot. Do you see with Hawk being on this team now, do you still prefer, like, would you, all right, let me ask you this. Would you say Buddy Hill is a better player than Hawk?
You want to go, Chris, or?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to get at the Buddy. Just because I can't disrespect the pain Buddy put in at you know, and you know, respect the Hawkins, but it's like he is a rookie, and I still feel like Hawkins is more of a recent revelation. Like, absolutely, he had a couple good shooting nights, but generally, man, like Buddy Hill is a different type of animal. Like I gotta give Buddy that respect. I do think that I would probably prefer Hawkins and Matt Ryan as, you know, as a collective, as two cheaper items that are much cheaper than a Buddy Hill, and you may get similar results. But I think Buddy Hill is the much better player at this point.
Yeah. I think Hawkins projects to be it's tough because Buddy, like, when it's all said and done, Buddy's one of the best 3-point shooters of all time, bro.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like people don't think about that, but the numbers will tell you he's one of the. By the time he retires, he will be like, and I mean, and you know, the game has changed. I don't care. Buddy's gonna be top 10 in 3-pointers made. Like, so to say that Hawkins is like, no, I mean, Buddy been in the league for 10 years now.
About
close. I don't think that's fair. Well, really,
he was in the Brandon Ingram draft, wasn't he? What? Yeah, he was.
Was he?
He was in the Brandon Ingram draft. That was 2016.
So 8 years.
Yeah, about eight. This is 8 years, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, Hawk a rookie, man. So I mean, no. I mean, he's not better than Buddy. I don't think that's fair to even compare Hawkins to Buddy. But can he project? Can you project him to being a player that is really fucking good at this point? Yes. And that's really all that, you know, that matters to me. And I think he might be able to give you long-term stuff, some things that Buddy never really tapped into. Buddy never really cared about defending, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, that really wasn't his thing. It never really mattered to him. Hawkins is a little, you know, he's wide a little bit different. So, I mean, I think, and you know, Buddy got drafted. He was like 29 years old. You know, I don't care what it's just a different.
Buddy was at Oklahoma. He was 27 with a wife and kids.
yeah. It was crazy. Yo, why we 20, almost 30 minutes in and we ain't talk Jonas, man? What's happening?
Hold on, brother. Hold on. That was just a setup. You know what I'm saying? I had to talk about Buddy so I could. It was the bait and switch, right? So here we go. Let's talk about the real starship. You know what I'm saying? My man, the Lithuanian legend, my man Jonas, 24-12. He had two blocks again, another multi-block game for Jonas. a steal and only one turnover. The brother was plus 15. He only took 12 shots. What did y'all see from Jonas tonight? What made him special, I guess, in this game?
Oh, he was incredibly. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I thought he was incredibly impressive. I thought he was like set the tone on the offensive end for the team. Collison is a real is that Collison? You know, they all look at it. Yeah, they all look alike sometimes. for him. He you know, that dude ain't nothing to sneeze at sometimes when he's healthy. I thought initially his defense was okay, but Jonas had the strength advantage, had the like overall skill advantage, cleaned up a lot on the boards, just was extremely active. And in fact, I think, man, tonight, one of them games, you could have saw Jonas get like 30 something. You know, he just was so dominant. They just ended up, you know, he did his job. They didn't have to play him anymore. But he was incredible throughout the entire night on both ends, in my opinion.
What you think about Jonas, Chris? Like, do you and then like I said, in 12 shots,
bro, he had 19 and 7 or 8 at halftime. Like, you know, Jonas was the reason that they were even in a position to listen. If Jonas didn't play tonight, they would have been down by 10 or 15 points. The way the starters was playing. The way that Zion, B.I., you know, B.I. was god-awful. C.J. was struggling. Zion was having, you know, was having his issues. And San Antonio pretty much shifted their whole defense, to Zion. And they weren't shooting the ball well in the first half. Without Zion, I mean, I'm sorry, without J.V., like, you wouldn't have been. Hey. Yeah, without J.V., man, I mean, I don't know what this game would look like. So, I mean, as always, man, just, you know, the professional. The dude that no one wants to talk about, the people don't want to give credit for what he can do. They always talk about what he can't do. And then you look up, and when you decide to feature him, even like Chaz is right. Like, I was looking at halftime, like, this motherfucker, you know, he's halfway to 40. He ain't gonna get it. But no. I'm saying, if you chose to give him the basketball, as a chance that he would have been, he was foul baiting. I was watching, and it was working. He was like Jonas was doing rip moves. No, I was like, Jonas was tapping into a different bag tonight. Make it. It's the second time I watched him make an and-one off of Dirk fade. Like, Jonas was in his bag, man, but he dominated. He did his job. The Spurs did not have any option, starting or off the bench, that were built to deal with Jonas Valanciunas. They simply didn't, and he did what he was supposed to do. And shout out to the people that featured him and made him, you know, an important piece of keeping the game where it was for them to eventually take off.
I feel like Jonas is the best foul baiter on the team, actually.
I agree.
I feel like he's the only one that really B.I. started as of late, but Jonas has been the only one that plays the game, like the game within the game, of actually baiting you into a foul.
CJ, I think CJ there. Yeah. I think Jose ain't that, you know, for all of his for his limitations. I think Jose tries in that limit, but I think it's CJ and Jonas right there. Jonas just don't ever get the call, and all you ever hear is him every fucking time.
Yeah, yo, Chris, you said something. I want to, before we leave the Jonas conversation, you said shout out to the people who made the decision to get Jonas involved. What do you mean by that, brother?
You know what I
mean. I'm doing my journalistic due diligence. I'm just asking.
Like, you know, there's times where multiple people on this team, they treat post injuries like laundry, man. They treat we gotta get a ball to the post. Like, no, man. Like, that's where it needs to go, which is why, you know, AD was talking about how the Spurs, there was a couple post injuries to Zion that got stripped or ended up in turnover. He's like, yeah, well, Spurs know the play coming. So, and yeah, that's true. They were overplaying it. They were, you know, they were playing it high in coverage. However, there was some lazy ass pass because them dudes don't want to throw the ball. Some of them dudes don't want to throw the ball to the post. They simply don't. It's only a few that really look into throwing the ball in the post. Shout out to Herb. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think even some of the, you know, the culprits that I feel like ignore Jonas in certain sets, even still is like, all right, man, here.
Culprits.
All right, here, man. You know, you clearly got your man sealed, man. I throw it to 2 points. All right, fine. You know, so.
Shows.
Chaz, let me ask you a question.
I just read something crazy. Go ahead.
What you got? You want to talk about it?
No, nah, it ain't worth repeating.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Dyson Daniels tonight.
Okay.
As far as the people who played in this game, he played the fewest minutes.
Right.
What do you make of that? He was 1-for-4. Do you think this is something to monitor going forward with Trey back? His minutes will continue to be on a low end?
I think so. Mainly because Najee's playing well. And I think Najee is the person who Dyson's in direct competition with, because we know Dyson's not a backup point guard. We know Dyson is like a front court player at this point until he, you know, can, you know, create more and knock down an open three. I think you offset too much of the attention that Zion and even Brandon kind of demands when you park Dyson in the corner. It is because it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, you know what I'm saying? You're not really, no one's really paying attention to Dyson. And for every spin move he makes, you know, that little floater, it just ain't worth it to me. And it just ain't worth it to me. Like, if Herb continues to rebound and you see guys active on the boards, it neutralizes one of Dyson's greatest strengths. I think Dyson don't really have the confidence right now. And I think he probably should go spend a little time in the G League just so he can regain his confidence, regain his shot a little bit. Because right now, it's I don't trust Dyson. I don't trust Dyson to make a layup. I think it's a dunk or it's a miss. I'm talking about one-on-one transition. If he don't dunk it, he's probably gonna miss it. And that's a tough place to be, man. But Dyson actually ties into another person we'll talk about a little later. Go ahead.
I think Dyson and Larry both do this. I watched Dyson catch the ball very close to the paint on the baseline. And that was his opportunity. Like, bro, just go up strong. Two hands, whatever the case may be. No, he wants to try to throw, like he's looking around, confidence ain't there, doesn't want to attack the basket. And what we thought would happen. It gets blocked. There's another time where he tries to float and he misses. The confidence is he doesn't want to shoot the basketball right now. And maybe there was a period where, you know, when certain guys weren't in the lineup because he had to and he had more freedom to, he felt like, all right, I'll take more shots. And that brought the confidence, so on and so forth. But now it's gone. It's gone. And now you're back to what Herb does very well. Whether the team is missing a certain amount of individuals or the team is fully staffed, Herb is going to make the most of his opportunities. And he's not really going to change his approach and knows when to attack. If Dyson cannot figure that out, he's going to have trouble in New Orleans. He's going to have trouble fitting in. Because while Dyson, I think, is more talented than Najee, Najee has a different mindset, and Najee's also a better shooter. So at this point, if you're not a better shooter than Najee, and you're going to be parked in your corner anyway, you're not going to handle the basketball, and you out there playing timid, you're out there playing scared against dogs, you're not out there. He's a fantastic defensive player. It's no way. Dyson is elite to me defensively.
Yeah, 100%.
I will not take that away from a really good rebounder, but that's not what's going to stop him from getting on the floor. Bro has to want to go out there and score the basketball. He got to, bro. And if he doesn't, you ain't going to be the dude like Najee, because Najee mentally is on a whole different level. Najee feels like he's one of the better players on the floor, whether it's true or not. He will attack every play with his own limitations, not being able to jump over a phone book. Like, he knows it's going, like he knows. Bro, that shot at the end of the first half was terrible. It was absolutely, it did not look
good. I remember.
Yeah, but it was what it was. He gonna get to the free throw line. Najee just, he a dog, bro. And if Dyson out there playing timid, it's not gonna work, bro. And he's not, like you mentioned, his direct competition is Najee at this point. He's not a backup point guard. He will lose out to Jose, and he's gonna lose out to Najee if he's not out there playing with some type of aggressiveness offensively.
Yo, let me ask y'all a question. Whoever wants to respond can, because this your guy. So I'm gonna let you answer further if you want. But do you think that Dyson can turn? Like, do you think this is something that can be resolved? Do you think Dyson can be a prominent, not even a prominent, but just a functional offensive player at some point? Sure,
absolutely. Like, bro, it's a change of mindset, man. Like, I wake up today And I, you know, like my mindset tomorrow, bro, I might say I don't feel like doing shit today. I might stay in the crib till fucking like 3 o'clock. The next day I might get up at 6 a.m. in the morning. But my mindset changed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to build better habits. You got to, like his mindset into his new role has to change. He has to know, this is the only way I am going to play minutes. So, yeah, I definitely think it's something that can be changed. Because from an aggressive standpoint, he's not the same dude right now that he was a couple weeks ago from the Mavericks game. He's totally different. He's looking more offensively like Rookie Dyson. Even a jumper. He don't think that bitch going in. But the dude that was shooting in the beginning of the Dallas game, the first Dallas game, when he made 17 points and he had to go out there and attempt, totally different. Confidence was different. He felt like he was going to be able to make plays, and he did. But now I don't like he wants anything a part of the offensive game of basketball. He got to change his role. Now you ain't playing 30 minutes a game. You're not playing 27 or 28. How are you going to be able to impact if you're playing 14 or 15? And that's something you ain't got to worry about with Herb. You got to worry about with Najee. They got the same approach, bro. And Dyson got to figure that out.
What you think, Jess?
Man, I think Dyson is just such a different player offensively that it's like, I only see one thing he's confident in, and that is that spin floater thing. And yeah. It's like, if I felt like it was something he could do successfully time in and time out, it's like, all right, cool. You like, that's one thing to have in your arsenal. That's cool. But tonight, all right, perfect dish from Zion underneath the basket. He just throw the shell at the glass. I don't know what happens, right? Then he comes off like a curl, right? Wide open in the mid-range. I'm like, nice, shoot that shit. Passes it to the corn. He's scared, like he's terrified. And I'm like, man, I feel like you got three players on this team that are luxuries that you can't necessarily afford if you're serious about being a contender at this stage, right? And I feel like Dyson is kind of one of them. And I really value what Dyson does defensively, but offensively, man, I think Dyson might be a contract away. Cause I'm like, damn, you don't really do, at least if you had like a nice handle or you were super athletic, it would be like, all right, well, he's super athletic. He's just a raw player. He gonna figure it out someday. But it's like, you don't really got a nice handle right now, and you're not athletic offensively necessarily. Dyson might just need to work on getting a fire post game,
bro. So listen,
that's probably Dyson's future.
I didn't mean to cut you off. My bad.
No, you're good. No, I'm done.
Okay. So like we were talking about his spin, right? He's obviously comfortable shooting the ball over his shoulder. So I was thinking maybe he should post up smaller guards, and he can like literally just turn the drop step into a floater if he wanted to, which may be like better for him. I think my issue with Dyson,
he had a play like tonight.
He did. And that's the reason why I was bringing it up, because he looked comfortable in shooting that. But I think my issue with Dyson is like, when I look at him play, I don't know an easy way to get him points. I don't know something he feels comfortable doing that I can be like, yeah, that's a, you know what I'm saying? Like that's a Dyson bucket. I feel like it's a path to it. I just really don't know how to get there. Cause the thing about it is like, confidence is something that's fleeting sometimes. And if you're not confident in your movements or your repertoire as a basketball player, like that's something nobody else can help you with. That's some internal shit.
Yeah.
And here's the problem, bro. Here's the problem. I think one of the things that we're missing here, bro, it's like, Dyson's a flawed offensive player. They when a team is healthy, he only getting 6 or 7 shots a game, bro. So it ain't like, you know, Corey brought up a point about Sohan. Well, nobody who was going outside of Keldon Johnson, who was going to take shots away from Sohan? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like Sohan was out there with a fully staffed, really good team, bro. Dyson's when his team is healthy, the 6th, 7th option. That's what Dyson has to figure out. He's not going to have the opportunity.
That might be kind of high, bro, too.
Willie Green. To be honest, that might be high. Like, bro, Willie Green didn't want Trey Murphy taking certain shots. You think he's comfortable with Dyson taking shots out of turn? You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that's the struggle, man. That, like, he has to figure out, and that's why I really appreciate. I'm appreciating more of what with Herb Jones. Whether Herb takes 7 shots or he takes 15, Herb is gonna make the most of them. You know what I'm saying? He gonna affect the game, and Dyson has to figure out that. It's one of the things me and Fire talked about early in the year. That's what he has to figure out, because you're not gonna get the same opportunities that Mathurin's getting, or you get, or these dudes that's drafted, you know, above you. Them dudes are, you know, they're put on the floor to take these amount of opportunities. It ain't gonna be, you ain't getting them opportunities to work in your game right now, bro. That's not gonna happen. So you got 4 shots, figure out a way to make that shit happen.
I feel like, go ahead, Chaz. Go ahead.
No, I'm good.
No, I was just gonna say, I feel like, yeah, all of what Chris just said, and the only thing I'm gonna land a Dyson playing by saying, I think that maybe the G League can help. Maybe the confidence part. You saw what EJ was doing in the G League when he couldn't really get minutes in the NBA game. And other than that, man, I don't know. Shout out to Herb, like Chris was saying, because Herb finds a way to affect the game in ways. And Herb is a smart guy. I'm not shooting the ball well. I'm a cut. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. It's just like little things. I'm gonna be a conduit in the offense instead of maybe being an initiator. So shout out to Herb. Y'all want to talk about B.I.?
He's a basketball player.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure.
Shout out to this brother. We appreciate you. Thank you, dog.
For sure.
Make sure y'all hit the like button.
Yo, man. Yo.
Yeah.
make sure y'all hit the like button. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way to improve the channel and keep this thing going, as the Bill Collector would say.
You know, man. You know,
they've been waiting on you to talk about. They've been waiting.
You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful when you compliment people. And because this the Pelicans, this is a team you gotta keep consistent pressure on. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be like that. I don't know if y'all ever saw Fences. We like, hey, Dad, why you ain't never like me?
Yeah.
Like you.
I raised your bitch ass.
Yeah, like. Man,
your table off of book.
Yeah, you got cold on your back. But it's like, bro, I feel like when this team, all right, check this out, right? Check this out. Zion ain't playing 10 months, right? He's back now, whatever. Trey ain't playing how many months, whatever happened with him. I don't know what Brandon's excuse is. Like, I really don't know how to really generate an excuse for him as far as the 3-point shooting. And again, if you remove that 5-for-5 game, it looked fucking crazy. Like, it's probably like 10% on the season, 15%, something crazy, right? Now, I can't say he got tired legs, and I don't really know what to say as it pertains to that. Tonight, you had, I think 14 points on 14 shots, got to the free throw line, but I'm like, even that, some of that shit, even the 2 buckets he had, he played like regular season minutes. He didn't play the front half of a back-to-back against a tanking team minutes. And they were kind of like trying to get him going, probably get him some rhythm for next game. A couple of those rebounds came at the end of the game, you know. But it's like, when this team is healthy, I think much like Dyson, Brandon becomes in a very – Dyson not as expensive, but – Brandon, Larry, and Dyson become extreme expensive ass, like luxuries. They become luxuries to me, because in order for Trey to truly maximize what you need him to be or what you want him to be someday, he gonna need all the runway possible to do that. He gonna need them opportunities to do that. He gonna need to show that he can create off the dribble. And I feel like a lot of what Brandon does, like Brandon has 7 assists, right? Some of them assists came while CJ said CJ the one put the game away, to be honest, bro. Like, to be honest, because we couldn't get a bucket. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of the things I think I saw tonight, I'm just like, bro, you could get somebody. You can get if you just had a traditional point guard, he can give you that same shit at a fraction of the cost. And that's what bothers me. It's like, I can't see paying somebody right now. Contract is what it is, but let's say the next contract, I can't see paying this man so much money if I feel like it's going to hold Trey, it's going to limit Trey, it's going to limit CJ, two people who I feel like are better regular season assets with, like, constructed around a player like Zion. And Brandon, like, if you can't be a number one option, you probably shouldn't be getting like $40 million a year on a team, especially for a team that ain't got no history of success. Like, I look at the Bulls and I look at Zach LaVine, who's probably a similar tier player. And I'm like, I think it might have been Zach Lowe, Brian Windhorst or something, but it was like, you can't pay these guys $40 million if they can't be a real number one option throughout the season. And I think, I don't know, man. It tonight was probably the best case scenario in some ways, but in other ways, it might have been the worst case scenario. But I don't know.
Chris, let me to just follow up Chad's point, in 17 games this season, Brandon is shooting 28% from three. Is this game tonight, like, right? How do you feel about his performance? Is it an outlier performance? Do you think the three-point shot can become better this season? Like, how you feeling about it?
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think he's a bad shooter. I don't think he's a 28% three-point shooter. I mean, he was missing shots tonight that, you know, even his favorite shots. I mean, he makes a shot late, like no one contests. And I've seen him running down the floor shaking his head like, all right, this is one of them nights. To be honest, bro, I don't really put too much into like a night like tonight, because I watch CJ not really have, but I watch Zion struggle. Brandon's interesting because, you know, the reason we had this conversation is because of, like, there's a price tag that there's a bill that the Pelicans are gonna have to pay real soon when it comes to him, and part of this is gonna be market based. You know, Michael Porter Jr. is getting paid a lot of money to be a third option. You know, a lot of money. But he's a champion now, so don't nobody care. Before Jamal Murray won anything, Jamal Murray was getting a lot of money to be paid next to Jokic. But listen, he had some really good playoff performances. You know what I mean? Like Jamal's left, he ends up winning the championship. He grows. It's all different. You know, so with this franchise, it's different because, they ain't did anything. You know, and we don't know if, like, all right, you paying him, you got to tell me who your core is down the line. It's not going to be CJ. Do you believe that the core of Brandon, Zion, and Trey is going to be able, and maybe you throw Herb in there, whatever the case may be. Is that going to be your core? Is that a core that you can believe in? Possibly. I don't know. I'm not sure. But
very expensive.
Do know that one way or another, people have to compliment each other. I don't care about this game for B.I. tonight. He goes out there tomorrow, he drops 28, and they win against Chicago. All is fine. He goes out Monday and has a really good game against Sacramento in a game you got to have it. I think it fits. You know what I'm saying? And you can't – the difficulty in even talking about Brandon is the fact that, yo, man, we could have different conversations about this team if you knew Zion was going to play 70 games a year. If you knew Zion was going to play 60 games a year, you could have different conversations about anybody, not just Brandon. You could take the Milwaukee route, but you can't. Right. You know what I'm saying? I think Brandon struggles, man, with trying to figure out his place when it comes to transitioning to certain guys coming back into the lineup. Do I shoot here? Do I shoot there? Do I pass here? Do I do this? Do I do that? Versus just going out there and hooping. And once he gets back into that mode and he finds whatever his new role is, I think he should be fine. Is it going to complement the guys you have here, and are you going to be able to win with it? I think you can, but you know, it's tough watching games like tonight to watch him struggle the way that he did. And 28% from three, it is what it is. If you think he's going to shoot 30% from three, if you think he go DeMar DeRozan it out or Jimmy Butler the rest of the year, then that's a different conversation. But I don't think he's going to be that bad. At the end of the day, regardless of what these motherfuckers do, who they pay, who they don't pay, they have to win. Because if they don't win, it's very difficult to, like Chaz say, invest all this money, $40-30 million, four different guys making over close to $30 million a year, and you ain't won shit.
And I really, because the thing I really question also is, at what cost, right? Like, if I don't think moving Trey is an option, but I would be disappointed if they had to move CJ to make room for a new Brandon contract, because I'm like, I can't like really say confidently that Brandon is a better player than CJ at this stage, because CJ, another dude who don't really look like he missed a beat necessarily since he's come back. Like, some of these guys, they came into the season, hit the ground running, and you know, when they came back from injury, they hit the ground running. And I do think that's why I really had the caveat of like when healthy, because again, Zion got to be at like 75%, like 75-80%. This motherfucker ain't nowhere near like where he should be or probably will be if he continues to play. Yeah, CJ is more durable. So I'm like, if Zion healthy, when I just saw the two-man game between Zion and JV, Brandon's like parked on the left wing a lot of the time. And I'm like, nobody paying attention to like Brandon, because no one will go contest that. And if let's say he shoots it, he probably not gonna make the motherfucker. So it's like, you know, I look at that two-man game between Zion and JV. Look at the two-man game tonight between Zion and Trey. And I'm like, if I'm Trey, not that Trey's thinking this, but if I'm a spectator like I am, I'm like, why am I starting the situation with a deficit? Why am I waiting to deploy that Zion, Trey, CJ lineup? Let's just start off hot and, you know, let's get the foolishness over. And like, see, like, and what's my man? Jose was out tonight also. So you really got a need at the backup one position, and you still got a need at the backup five position. You got a lot of like holes to fill on this roster, Pause. And I just, man, you would have to really, really believe that team is when Brandon, because you would have to get rid of CJ. You would have to believe that Brandon, Trey, and Zion are winning a championship. Like, you would have to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's a tough sell, bro. Like, he'd be the highest paid player on the team. Like, and it would just be like, I'm not really sure if you're the second best player on the team to be the highest paid. It's just tough, man.
Before you say that, guys, please go ahead and smash the like button. That's the only way to keep the channel alive. That's that way we can keep you guys with this these hour-long lives that, you know, and get y'all with the Brandon Zion Civil War in the chats. Go ahead, Chris.
I think this year is just, it's critical for a lot of people in regards to this team winning games. And we talked about that. At the end of the day, if this team wins 50 games and Brandon is a big part of it, you know what I'm saying? Whether it means he's changing his role or whether it means he's the guy that we're used to. I think right now he's averaging 24, 5, and 5, whatever case may be. Something like that, yeah. Then none of it matters. But if you can get into a playoff series, you'd be like, all right, we can win with these guys. But it goes back to what we've always talking about. The only way that any of these dudes can find their real footing with this team being healthy is that everybody is able to be healthy. Zion, while Zion hasn't won anything, Zion's walking on the floor, it attracts winning because he attracts five different people the minute he walks on the floor, which means like that allows so many other people to be involved. Brandon has to take a lot of tough shots. And if he's not making three-pointers, it makes it a little bit tough, especially sharing minutes with Zion. When Zion's off the floor, it's probably a little different. You know what I'm saying? But I think for B.I., dog, he got to win. he got to be a part of this victory, man. He got to be a part of this team winning. They all have to win. And if that happens, then we can have different conversations, because I don't think Michael Porter Jr. was worth the money that they gave him. Michael Porter Jr. is a winning player. I think he does certain winning elements. I ain't all that high on Jamal Murray. But you playing with a generational talent in Jokic, and it ends up working out. And nobody fucking cares at that point.
Yo, I'm glad you mentioned those two guys, because I think, man, like, when you look at how great Jokic is, all you really needed to surround him with is two incredible shooters. At one point, Michael Porter Jr. was like the leading three-point shooter, you know, in the NBA, you know, and Murray is just, you know, we already know what Jamal Murray does. So it's like, you really with when this team is healthy, you almost asking Brandon to take such a regressed role that it's like, I just need you to be a facilitator and knock down an occasional three. You really shouldn't be taking more than 12 shots a game most nights, Brandon. And that's crazy to say, but it's real. Like, it's like, because, like, man, nobody wants to see them busted ass contested middies and motherfuckers out here. Like, them dudes tonight, the Spurs, that dude Vassal, all them dudes running and gutting, knocking down threes. The only way to really even the odds is to answer that on the other end with threes, getting to the line. Brandon got to the line tonight. But it's like, no, it's almost like you saving Brandon for the playoffs every year. Like, all right, we could just get to the playoffs, then we could let him loose. And it's like, damn, that's a fucking burden to carry all year just to, you know, get to the playoffs. And I need a backup one. I probably need another dude off the wing, like a backup wing in case Dyson don't figure it out. Najee, a free agent after this year. Larry, prayers up to him. Jose hurt a lot. Man, it's some shit need to be done. Yeah. You know, I just don't know, man.
Before we move forward, I'd like to pay attention to this comment. I think this comment on the screen is very important, and I think that we should holler at somebody about this. The answer to this question is 36%. While we're here, I want to read some Brandon stats. So last year, Brandon averaged 24.7 in 45 games. Currently, in 17 games, he's averaging 23.4. last year, he took 3.6 threes per game, currently taking 4.5. However, on the 3.6 last year, he shot 39%. On the 4.5 this year, he's 28.9. I just kind of wanted to add some context to the numbers because, you know, like you said, like you basically said, shit, man, when playing with Zion, you kind of got to acquiesce yourself to that role. And regardless of like whoever wants to hear it or not, like Zion is the generational talent on the team. So, and as you know, you like to say, the NBA says that there's only one superstar on the team. Like, I think that Brandon can be a fine secondary player, but when playing with Zion, he's got to take and make those threes. If he's in the game with Trey or Zion isn't on the floor or he's playing with Jonas, he then can take those middies and he can do some of those things that he does. I will say this. I like what I've liked from Brandon in the last five, six game stretch he's been having. He's been getting to the rim a lot better. Like he's been playing through contact, getting to the rim. He shot 8 free throws tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In a game where he didn't have anything going, still kind of made his presence felt with rebounding. I think he had 5 rebounds and the assists. So, I mean, listen, I didn't mean to put that up there, my bad. But you know what I'm saying? In a game where you ain't have a lot going for you, you still kind of he did his best trying to get his teammates involved.
Look, I mean, and you know, like I'll say this, bro. I think, you know, I watch the way teams treat, like defensively, the way that they treat Brandon. I think for a lot of criticism that he gets, he attracts a decent amount of attention defensively. So when Brandon's out there making the right plays, and we talk about it, he's moving with pace, it's a little bit different. When those shots that he likes to take are going, it's a little bit different. Donald, from everything that we heard,
yes.
Yeah. And the minutes, he played 26 minutes, think he's playing tomorrow. So, bro, I don't think the question is if Brandon's a trash player, bro. Like he's clearly not. I think he's a really, personally speaking, I think he's a really good one. He will win games for this team through various parts of this season. But we're talking about winning at this point. And if this team can finally be healthy, that's when the real microscopes come out.
Yeah.
If this team healthy, that's when the real microscopes pull out. Because now, you know, everybody pointing out who ain't there and what would happen if they would have if they were healthy. Well, guess what? Well, now these dudes are healthy. Now people looking at, all right, well, what's the final parts or the final pieces of a championship team? That's, I think, what people are talking about. And some folks can't see a dude shooting 28, a wing shooting 28% right now from three as being that type of dude. And that's why we did a show before. We was like, all right, well, who got to adjust the most between Brandon, B.I., and Zion? This is one of the things that we talked about. Yeah. And whether it's fair or not, it's Brandon. And if he does, this shit will work. And if it doesn't, people going to be looking at him. I think it can still work out, but some of it is conditional. And I think everybody got to be fair with that thought. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Can I ask y'all this? Now, you know, I was a person, I said something real crazy. I still kind of believe it, but I felt like Brandon could potentially average about 10 assists this season, especially with, like, Trey and CJ. This before, like, I knew Trey was hurting shit. But it's like, do you think, can y'all see Brandon buying in to being like, all right, fuck it. I know my limit is about 10 shots. I need to pass this ball.
That will never happen.
That's the thing, bro. Yeah. That's why I'm like, do I pay this
10
man?
Shots is crazy, though, Chaz. Well, like, Najee might come off the bench and give you 10 shots. Pause.
Because
that's crazy.
Let's say Trey getting about, let's say Zion peaks at about 13, right? Trey getting about 10. CJ getting about 12, 13, whatever. It's like, at some point, you got to have a center. Your center got to get some shots. And it's like, bro, most of these people take threes. Like, you know, they getting and ones. They get into the line, et cetera. And it's like, bro, I just can't watch you take 4-5 fucking middies, you know, back to back to back to back. Like, tonight, I think Brandon might have one or two drives at the rim. And I'm just like, God damn.
How many,
like,
shots, Chaz, does he average? How many shots does he average right now in a year?
I think you on a know? Year, it's, I think it's, last Brandon? Time I checked, I think it was like 19.
You talking about
like
Brandon?
Yeah.
18.7.
Yeah.
So when the team is healthy, he probably don't need to take 18. I think, well, 10 out, like Herb took 8, right? Tonight. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Trey, first game back, Chaz. First game back, 22 minutes, Trey took 13.
Go ahead. Another thing. You got Hawkins. and this is another thing. You know how fast you got to play for Brandon to get 12, or 13, 14? You got to either not make any shots or not miss any shots. Like, you got to play lightning fast. And I'm just like, I don't know where Brandon gets his shots if you need him to be that facilitator guy. And I just can't see it, bro. I feel like you could just get, like, washed up Rondo was giving you 10 rebounds and 10 assists. Like, you could go get, I feel like you could just go get any motherfucker. My last thoughts on this is, like, I'm thinking about Tyrese Haliburton, right? I look at what's going on with Jaden Ivey, and I look at the Trey situation. I think sometimes you really got to move players out of other players way out of their aura so they can just be all they can be. You know what I'm saying? So I think Trey got face of the franchise type potential. I think that's a person they need to invest a lot of resources in, especially with Zion being like a fickle person. But it's like Zion is who he is. Like Zion flaws and all, he a bad motherfucker. Like, the dude is a bad motherfucker. Trey is a bad motherfucker. So I think you gotta kind of move the shit out of Trey way. And it's like, it all points to one brother, unfortunately. And it's not pitting nobody against each other. This is business. You know what I'm saying? It's all pointing
solid,
to one brother.
Is.
You know?
Zion gotta play.
That's all.
Zion gotta play. Look, Chaz, Milwaukee would have been having a tough time trying to get rid of Greg Monroe, yep. Trying to get rid of fucking Jabari Parker, trying to get rid of all these dudes that they invested money and high draft picks in. The list goes on and on. Yeah, they would have had a tough time trying to make these moves if they was like, Giannis gonna play 30 games, 40 games. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the toughest part of this subject, bro. That's why it's so tough for me to talk about B.I., bro, because even if I respect this game and even if I feel like, all right, you know what, whether you think he's a star in this league or whether you think the Pelicans should move forward, you can't really – there's no middle ground here because you don't know how many games Zion is going to play. Yeah, and then if Zion – let's say you move him and now – you know, you're going to run Trey into the ground. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's tough. Well, so, number one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say trade and whatever you get for Brandon, because at that point you'd have rounded out the roster a little bit. You still got CJ, you still got, you know, whatever you got. But the point, I totally get your point though. I totally get your point.
We got about 10 more minutes. Go ahead and like that, hit that button for us so we can keep the channel going, and we can do everything we need to do to support New Orleans basketball, and you guys can support us, and we appreciate you all. I want to say this. Chaz, you made a valid point, and this is the last.
I don't think so, Dom. I think it's just one of those nights.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I want to say something about the pace. I did a show this summer talking about how Brandon would need to be the one to sacrifice his shots in order to make this whole basketball ecosystem work. And I said he should probably, I think he had a career high last year in 2024. I think coming into this year, he should average 21. He should score 21. But I'm kind of feeling like now maybe it should be like 19.
Mm. Jesus Christ.
And it's not a knock on Brandon's game.
For the team to be
successful. It's a lot of players who need, you got a lot of specialized guys who need to get the basketball. Trey's probably the only one who can create his own shot. We still haven't seen that for a full season yet. I don't trust Hawkins' ability to dribble the basketball, and that's not his superpower. His superpower is moving around to get to an open shot. So somebody has to initiate that for him, right?
That's
the only reason I'm saying. And then you, like Chaz was saying, you still got Jonas. Like, Jonas is an effective basketball player when put in the proper spots to be that.
Okay. See, I'm getting the Ben Simmons thing now that Chaz was explaining. But here's the even issue with that. I feel like if Ben,
Ben.
Well. Yeah, see, we gotta find because now it's making a little bit more sense to me. I can understand why you say, all right, it's best for the team if B.I. sacrifices shots, because you have so many other dudes that are specialty pieces that that makes everyone's lives easier and probably gets you more efficient buckets. Whether it's Jonas, whether you say Jay, whether you say Hawkins, whether you say Trey, whatever, like people that need you more than, you know what I'm saying, you may need them. So I get that a little bit more. I just can't see Brandon.
But I can't see it.
but look,
the last point of that I was trying to make is Chaz was saying he don't see a point, he doesn't see a spot where B.I. can get his own shots in. My caveat to that is if the pace was faster, he could get it in transition.
That's an alley you just threw me. I was waiting on that, Lito. Check this out. Right? And shout out to Ross. Ross first introduced this stat. This is time of possession. This is the NBA player's time of possession with the basketball right now, right? Jaylen Brown is at 3 seconds in 3.88 seconds, right? And I guess like him holding the basketball is about 3.4 seconds. Jason Tatum, 3.7, that's extremely impressive. 3.7 seconds. Time of like him holding the basketball is 2.7. That's as soon as Jason Tatum touched the ball, he's shooting that motherfucker, right? Zion Williamson, 3.4 seconds, right? Then another one, 2.9. So let's just say three. Let's say 3 and 3. Brandon Ingram, 4.23 seconds and 3.5. He's such a ball stopper. Pause. It don't really. That's why I say you would have to play so fucking fast. Like I just can't see it. Like I just can't see it, bro. Like, and I'm a person who really believed in point Brandon. Like coming into the season, like he just so slow, bro, and the handle just ain't there. I can't see it. I just can't see it.
So, to close us out, like I said, we had about 10 more minutes. Y'all hit the like button. We got to talk about, obviously, Zion and CJ. Which one of y'all want to talk about first?
It don't matter to me.
So CJ tonight, and somebody in the chat had said CJ shooting too much. Chaz, you said that CJ Kemp is in the game. You could go ahead and expound on that point.
Yeah, I thought CJ, it looked like CJ shot so much because he went 1 for 8 from behind the arc. But also keep in mind, much like Brandon, shout out to UBG too.
Shout out to Five, man.
Yeah, shout out to Brother Five. Also, CJ played like regular season minutes because, you know, he's not playing in Chicago. So, you know, you're going to see him get a little more of the lion's share of the shots tonight. But I thought down the stretch in both games, man, CJ with them floaters and the motherfucking, like, even I hate mid-range shots, but CJ got to his spot, spin around, jumpers, hit a big three to end the game. CJ is just, he ain't even CJ yet. He ain't even the dude that we saw to start the season yet. And he's a person still finding his way. So you kind of got to give him the bandwidth to do that and for, you know, the first couple games, especially since he's not playing versus Chicago.
Gotcha. Chris?
I never really worry about CJ, man, because I feel like he puts in so much time, like everything revolving, like outside of basketball, while like I feel like he manages his time well. So his prep time, his study time, you know, like I feel like that's a guy that has a schedule around everything. So when it comes to actually playing basketball, whether he has a good or a bad game, I can't say it's because, well, he didn't try tonight. He didn't put in the work. You know, he looked ill prepared. No, I mean,
super CJ, professional.
Yeah, I mean that's what he is. And I think tonight, good majority, he had a couple shots. I was like, all right, I wouldn't have took that, but who am I to tell dude that this average what he averaged? What he went through last year, now you shouldn't shoot that. He's earned the right to shoot that in his league. And there were so many others that he missed that were open. There were shots that we've seen him make. There are shots that he's made a career off of making that he will make. Yeah. Once again, the beauty of having Zion and, you know, and Brandon, the people overplaying on JV, whatever the case may be, to where CJ can walk in the corner threes. You know what I'm saying? So Zion had a beautiful transition pass to him in the corner. It just didn't good shot. You know,
Chris, hold on, because I want you and Chaz to answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
CJ is the better regular season player. He's the better fit for what this offense wants to do. 3 points is more than 2 points. That's pretty much the sums it up. Like, I mean, he's just the better regular season player. He's the better. He plays a better regular season brand of basketball.
I don't give. He does. He does sacrifice though.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, and I think he's been sacrificing a lot more with the group, right? Yeah. With the entire group. I don't see CJ over dribbling as much as he did last year. Like when the group is there, I think CJ realizes, even from the start, dating back to preseason, he realizes I'm the third person in this setup. You know what I'm saying? So I think he does. He does sacrifice. He picks and chooses where he. You got to think like a lot of these shots. They might come with Brandon off the floor. Sometimes Zion off the floor. Like, and he's leading a secondary unit. So I can't fault CJ for anything anymore, to be honest, bro. I mean, yeah, I just can't.
CJ, you know, underpaid.
To answer that question like real quick so we could get the Zion and we could get out. CJ is averaging a career high in rebounds this season at 4.5 so far. He's averaging a career high in assists so far. He's having a career high in steals so far this season. So if you're talking about sacrificing, I mean, I feel like if you're looking at the numbers, like that's definitely leading by example. All right. So Zion, right? Zion tonight, Zion was four. He only took 9 shots. Yeah. 9 shots. He made 4 free throws, 12 points, 4 rebounds. Chris, we just did a show about the rebounding. 7 assists. What did you see? What did you like from Zion? What didn't you like? What do you think he could have did better? I mean, again, it was only 9 shots, so it's not a –
I thought he could have – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, he didn't. He had some situations where, like, he seemed like he was really set on getting other people set up. Like, he had a play where they were in transition and he had Trey Jones on him.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He had Trey Jones on him and he threw the ball in the corner. Like, he passed the ball behind him for Herb to shoot a corner three. And I was like, nah, Zion, I probably would have wanted you to be a little bit more aggressive there. But he seemed like he was kind of like going through the motions. Maybe he knows. He already knows he's playing tomorrow. And he's kind of just, you know, on cruise control. I'm not sure. But Zion looked like he had moments where he was looking to be aggressive. I think San Antonio did a really good job of crowding the rim. I will say that. They were cutting off. That's why Trey got some of them three. That's why CJ had an open corner three. They did a good job, I think, of defending him in the way that they defend him. So we got to give him some credit too. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know what else to say. It was one of them games to where he made it. He made a few good plays, but he was kind of just he seemed to really be looking to find some other guys. Trey, you know, looking to see where Trey Murphy was the entire time. And when the ball found Zion, you know, he got to the line and did whatever. But I saw him really, really focusing on trying to get other people set up, whether it was Herb or Trey or Jonas as per usual. And kind of getting his buckets when he was going, you know, when he could fit them in.
Yeah.
I feel like his closeouts needed a little work, his lateral quickness. It wasn't there tonight, in my opinion. He had a nice block, kind of grabbed a couple of defensive rebounds. I just felt like it was a game. He really paced himself. That pass, yeah, that shit was nice, bro. I think I would love to see Zion's potential assist for tonight.
I felt
like that shit had to be like 20 or something crazy because it was one of them nights, bro. It was one of them nights where the basketball was moving, and you saw a couple times with my dog Dice, man. A couple times where it's just like, Dice, you got to make one of them motherfucking corners.
Dice is like, you know what I'm saying?
Dice, you got to make that. You got to shoot that shit, Dice. But I thought overall he had a solid game. I thought they left some money on the table. Making the free throws, that's one of the most important things to me, because that's something I'm fed up with, the fucking missed free throws. But the defense still a ways away defensively.
Yeah, man. Again, man, hit that like button. We appreciate y'all pulling up, rapping with us for fuck an hour and 21 minutes, man. We appreciate y'all. I still see the Civil War in the chat. I think it's important to say this in closing. I don't think anybody in the chat or anybody on the panel has any ill will to any player. We just calling the game how we see it, and we just critiquing the game. It's not personal. We don't know them. We don't want to know them. We just talking about the game. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? If you a Stan, like, you stand for your guy, but we talking about what's best for the team. You know what I'm saying?
City, bro.
Yeah, like, that's all. Whoever, like, what the front of the jersey say?
The front of the jersey, bro.
That's what's important here. So, you know what I'm saying? We appreciate y'all pulling up, man. We'll see y'all, I guess, tomorrow, maybe. In closing, y'all got anything else y'all want to add?
Boy, jersey say lust.
y'all ain't going to see me tomorrow. I'm going to be drunk at the game, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you and all your King David crew, huh? Oh, yeah, man. So, peace, man. We out. Hold on. Y'all stick around. Hold on one more second. Let me, boom. Where we at? Is it this? The fuck this.
In the NBA, right, the game can change. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BOOT. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BOOT. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
Yeah, man. Corey, you're right. We need Justin back, man. I don't want to do this shit. I just want to comment, dog. We out.